Thanks for listening to Lighthouse Baptist Church podcast. Lighthouse Baptist Church is an independent, fundamental Baptist church located in Pleasanton, California. This message was preached live in one of our regular church services. If you find this message a help, please feel free to subscribe. You can find out more about us at our website, lbceastbay.com. Now to the message.
I'm sure your Bibles are still open there, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Again, just like the Church of Corinth, we are in a carnal world. We are in a world that does not go after the things of God, does not consider what God says is right as always right. But we're here to build something spiritually for God and for His kingdom and for His work. In this world where right seems wrong and wrong is told that it's right, we have to make choices all day, every week. What we will and what we will not do, what is right and what is wrong, and the direction we ought to go and what we ought to do and how we ought to behave. Now, if you've been saved very long, you know much about the Bible at all, and just with the Spirit inside of us, if we're honest, and that's key, being honest, we know what's right. In almost every case, we know what's right, we know what's appropriate, we know what would please God more. But the trouble is making the right choice. We got to teach our kids how to make the right call also. Not just because pastor says, not just because I say, but helping them understand that for the glory of God and for the purpose of God's will in our life, that we make the right choices. So tonight, the key, I guess, even to the whole book, if you will, is in verse 23. All things, if you look there in 1 Corinthians 10, 23, all things are lawful for me, but not all things But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but not all things are. But all things edify not. So we've got two things: expedience and edification. Expedience and edification. The word expedient means just advantage. It's an advantage. So the idea is, when we look at things in our life, is this an advantage to me? Is this spiritually advantage for my family? Is this a spiritual advantage to the world? Is this a spiritual advantage to the church? Is this a spiritual advantage to my walk with God? Is it an advantage? Not so much, is it lawful? I mean, is it against the rules of God, or is it against the rules of the church, or is this... No, is it an advantage? We need to be seeking, as we make these choices, what's an advantage for me? Is it expedient? The second thing is edify. The word edify there in the Greek means house builder, somebody who's involved in construction. So if we're talking then to making decisions, we make decide, is this going to build or not? Is this an advantage to me or not? Is it an advantage to the cause of Christ or not? And if we just put those two things in context, of every decision we make, every choice we go down, every road we go, is this an advantage spiritually? Is this building or not? Because the opposite, if we're not building, we're tearing down. If it's not an advantage, it's a disadvantage. So tonight we're going to, I hope our hearts and desires is to build and to find things advantageous, things that advance the cause of Christ. So tonight, as we do that, just by thinking about it, we need to learn to discern the right choices. What is right? Be able to discern, this is a choice and this is the direction I need to go. But once you know it's a choice, we need to make a commitment to make a decision. It's one thing to discern it, it's another thing to decide to do it, to say, this is what I'm going to do, this is the way I'm going to proceed. And then we must personally dedicate ourselves to it. Dedicate ourselves to the right cause, dedicate ourselves to build, dedicate ourselves to the advantage, and dedicate ourselves to, once we've made the right choice, to stick with it. Once we've made the right choices, this is God's will for my life, this is the right choice, and I'm just going to stick with it all the days of my life. I'm going to stick with it no matter what politics go, no matter who's in the White House, no matter what the Congress says, no matter what the state says, no matter what my family says, no matter what society says. I've made up my mind that I'm going to stick with what God says. I've made a choice that builds, and I made a choice that's an advantage for the cause of Christ, and that's the direction I want to go. So we have to personally dedicate ourselves to it. Now, as a preface to that, we back up a little bit and we have to face the danger. Face the facts. Verse number 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We have to be constantly making that choice and that decision and being on guard or we're going to fall. Being careful or we're going to fall. There is a danger. We think, well, I've been saved for 150 years and I know I'm more. Well, no, be careful lest you fall. Well, I've only been saved maybe 10 years or 5 years, but, you know, I've grown in the Lord and I think I've overcome that temptation. How many have found out in your life that when you thought you've overcome it, it comes right back? It may have been years. It may have been many years. But if we let down, that temptation comes and we can fall back into it, whether it be alcohol, tobacco, or anything else, bitterness. We have to face the danger. Number two, we have to fight the temptations. Fight the temptations. Verse number 13, there is no temptation you such as common to man. God will give us a way to escape. He'll give us a bear, but we have to fight the temptations. That's going to go on all our lives. How many have figured out that many times the more we decide to do right, the stronger the temptation to do wrong? It just is. So it's a fight on our hands. But if we're going to build, we're going to edify, we have to fight the temptation. If we're going to find the advantage and what's better, we're going to have to fight the temptation. So we face the danger, we fight the temptation, and then we have to flee idolatry. Verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. And that goes into the rest of the passage. We have to flee those things that come before God, those things we put before Him. So in this passage, we see as God's trying to help us make choices to build, make choices to our advantage and the advantage of Christ, there are three choices He wants us to make. Three choices we need to choose carefully. We need to discern, we need to decide, and then we need to dedicate ourselves. Discern what's right, what the choice is, decide to make that choice, and then dedicate ourselves to it. Very simply tonight, just three choices. But boy, they are vital. And these are big choices that we make, broad choices. So I'm not going to try to get in the nitty-gritty. I'll try to let the Holy Spirit do that for us tonight. But just get the concept so we don't lose the choices we need to make. Number one, are you with me tonight? Here we go. Three choices. Only three. Wow. You laugh. Three choices tonight. Number one, we must choose the right tables. We must choose the right tables. If you would, look at verse 21, and here's a key verse for this chapter. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. He says we got to choose the right table. You can't be partakers of the devil's table and the Lord's table. The problem is we are very apt at choosing the devil's table. In fact, if you look at verse number 7, we saw this last week. It says, neither be ye idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. I would say they chose the wrong table. They chose the table of the devil. They chose the table of the flesh and of giving in to rise up and to dance. So we must choose the right tables. He says, again, verse 23, ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. We cannot and still be true to God. We cannot try to partake of the Lord's table and the devil's table and still build something spiritually. We cannot partake of the devil's table and the Lord's table and still find an advantage for the things of Christ. We cannot partake of both and still have a good testimony. Hello? You cannot be partakers of the devil's table. People can't see you eating at the devil's table and then coming to church and trying to eat at the Lord's table at the same time. Yes, it's talking about the communion and the Lord's Supper, but I think generally also just the fact it's God's table where we sit. Yeah, when we think of table, we think of feasting and fellowship. And so there we go. We have to choose the right place where we're going to feast, the right place where we're going to eat, and the right fellowship associated with it. And we cannot do both. We cannot do both and have a good testimony. It does not happen. You cannot do both without being marked or scarred or affected. That's why Elijah said in 1 Kings 18:21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. He said, you better make up your mind. He said, you can't be this straddling the fence. You can't be doing both. You can't come over and eat at the devil's table, and then on Sunday or Sunday night or on Wednesday night, then go over and eat at the Lord's table. He says, no, we got to choose what table. God says we cannot eat at both. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Well, let's choose the right table, where we're eating, where we're partaking, where we're fellowshipping. We got to choose that. And if we choose one, that means we have to refuse the other. We can't say, so I'm going to choose this one. That means I have to leave that one. Very quickly tonight, we choose our tables based upon our appetites. We choose our tables based upon our appetites, what we eat. Again, we see verse number 7. They rose up to play. They sat down to eat and rose up to play. Their appetite was for the flesh. Their appetite was for idolatry. Their appetite was for drink. So we must choose our tables, or we do choose our tables, based upon our appetites. Kind of like our World Missions Conference buffets. You have the table, the Spanish table, the Chinese table, and the Mexican table, and this kind of table. And what table you go to is based on your appetite. Well, if you're Baptist, you go to all of them. I understand that. But you focus usually on one. This is my table. Or if you go to Hometown Buffet, that great place of spiritual giants. I don't know if they still have that or not. But, man, you go to that table. Some people go to the buffet table of the desserts. How many are like that? You go to desserts first just to make sure, all right? I didn't do that when I did that. I go to the meat table, all right? I like going to the meat. Yeah, I like that. And so we go to the table based upon our appetite. And so God says we cannot partake of the devil's table and the Lord's table at the same time. And we're going to choose, listen, we're going to choose what table we eat at based upon our appetites. Now, here's something exciting. We can change our appetite. We can train our appetite. How many remember as a child the idea of eating broccoli was just repulsive? I could say something else the kids say, but no, I'm not going to say it's just repulsive. But you know what? After a few years and you begin to eat that, you might say, some of you still not, I know that. Was it President Bush's, was it broccoli? Broccoli, he said, I'm President of the United States now, I don't have to eat broccoli. He got truckloads of broccoli, I think, the next day. But we can train our appetite. We can train what we want. And then as we mature and as we grow, we like it and we get it more. So we can change and learn to change our appetite. So we got to choose our table based upon our appetite. We choose the table of the devil or we choose the table of God. We can choose the things of the devil. That's what we want to partake in. That's what we want to eat are the things of God. Very quickly, number one, let's develop a spiritual appetite. Let's learn to develop a spiritual appetite. See, the old man likes the garbage. Old man likes the hog slop. The old man likes that. But the spiritual man inside has a different appetite, something else. And so we need to develop in ourselves a spiritual appetite so we will choose to eat and partake of the things at the Lord's table. Develop a spiritual appetite, an appetite that builds, an appetite that brings things that are advantage. So let's find those spiritual things and develop an appetite for it. You're here on a Sunday night because you have developed, and I trust you have, I see that you have, developed a spiritual appetite to feast at God's Word. Folks come sometimes on Sunday morning. They may not have that same appetite. They come for different reasons. They may come for some fellowship. They may come because that's just what they're supposed to do. But when we develop a spiritual appetite for the things of the Bible, for the things of the Word of God, for good preaching, for solid preaching, for the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and lives, and we say, that's the food I want. That's the table I'm going to eat at. I don't want to eat at the devil's. I want to develop a good appetite, things that are spiritual. So let's choose the right table tonight. Let's choose the table of the Lord. Let's choose the things of God. Now, you can turn on the television and have so many other things, but let's make sure we choose a spiritual appetite and develop that. That means we need to reject a demonic appetite. We have to reject a demonic appetite because we have two types of tables. The Lord's table, the things that are spiritual, the things that are holy, the things that are just, the things that are beautiful, the things that are coming that God tells us is coming for us, are the devil's table. Let's choose spiritual appetite. Let's choose the right table. We choose our tables based upon our appetite. What did you eat at this week? What table did you find yourself going to most this week? I'm not saying just reject it. I'm saying let's develop an appetite. Say, I want a spiritual appetite. I want a hunger to participate and eat at the Lord's table and reject demonic. In other words, when I hear something that's vile, I'll reject it. When there's something laid out for me to partake in, or a table that I go by, and I say, boy, that's got the vile things of the world, that's got vile things of the flesh, that's got immoral things, that I will reject that because I want to eat at the Lord's table. So as he lays out this thing, he says, if we're going to build, if we're going to find the advantage, we have to choose the right table. We choose the table based upon our appetites. Number two, we choose the table that we eat on based upon our associations. Based upon our associations. We may not always like everything we're eating, but we like the people we eat with. Who we associate with. That's my crowd, we'd say. Or that's not my crowd. And we choose the tables based upon our associations. Look at verse number 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not have you then have fellowship with devils. Wow. Let's make sure that as we choose the table, we choose it based upon our appetite, but also the association. Let's not join the tables of sinners and of the sinful. Yeah, we're to go after them. We're to be the best friend, if you will, they have when they have a need. But let's make sure that as we partake of the things of the world, of God, that we're not partaking at the table of the sinful. In Romans 1:32, God makes it very clear. It says, who knowing the judgment of God, this is talking about the homosexuality and talking about those who do not want to know anything about God, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. But not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Let's find out. Just be careful what table we eat at, because we're going to find out what table we eat at is based upon our association, those that we have pleasure in. You say, well, I don't participate in that sin. No, but I enjoy hearing people talk about it. I don't do that, but I like the jokes about it. I don't do that, but I like hearing about it. God says, no, no, no. He says, God says, I've got the same kind of judgment. I've got the same kind of attitude against those who both do it and those who have pleasure in it. I cannot eat, God says, I cannot eat at the devil's table and the Lord's table. So let's make sure that I'm not involved in the table of sinners and the sinful. 1 Corinthians 5:11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man is called a brother, and is called a brother, be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, nor a railer, or a drunkard, nor an extortioner. With such a one do not eat. A little bit farther on, it says, therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. So I'm saying, as we look at where we find ourselves eating, and I'm not talking about physical food, I'm talking about spiritual food, I'm talking about what we take into our mind, what we take into our heart, what we fellowship with. Let's make sure that it's not the table of sinners and the sinful. Let's choose the table of the saved. 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. In other words, we'll love our association, we love the brethren. So when it comes time to spiritually feed ourselves, when it comes time throughout the week on a Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, just about, what table do we find ourselves at? Do we find ourselves at the devil's table and the devil's crowd? Or do we find ourselves longing for the Lord's table and the Lord's crowd? All because we have that love for them. So let's choose our tables based upon the right associations. Let's choose our tables based upon the right appetites. God says you cannot do both. But the problem is we try to do both. But if we're going to build and if we're going to find the advantage, we have to choose the right tables. Very quickly, we choose our tables based upon affections. Based upon our affections. Look at verse 22. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Do we provoke God to jealousy? Back in the day, long days ago, when she was chasing me, you laugh, don't you? Yeah. But I might see her sitting with some other fella or a crowd of fellas, and guess what? I wasn't saved then. I'd get jealous. I'd say, what's she doing over there? Of course, I was around so much, she didn't have much choice in that. But when we sit down to eat, do we provoke God to jealousy? He says, don't you love me? What are you doing with the crowd over there that hates me? What are you doing with the crowd over there that dislikes me? What are you doing with the crowd over there that's doing things that displease me? God says that, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Do our table choices make God jealous? It's our affections, who we love and who we want to be. Let's choose the right tables this week. When we say, God, I want to build, I want something that's advantageous for my spiritual walk, let's choose the right table. Let's understand that when we go out in the world, we're going to be offered the table of devils all around, of wickedness and immorality and perversion and filth and disease and drunkenness and drugs and all those things. Or we're also being offered the table of the Lord, of righteousness and holiness and godliness and things that are pure, things that are right, things that are sweet, the things of God, the things of the gospel, the things of Jesus Christ. Let's choose the right table tonight. The problem is, our flesh wants the old table. Let's develop the right appetite and choose the right table. Number one, choose the right table. Number two, let's choose the right cups. Let's choose the right cups. Again, looking back at our verse 21, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. He says you cannot do it. So very quickly, do not choose the cup of the devil. Just don't choose that cup of the devil where we partake of it. God describes that cup of the devil in Isaiah 51, or the results of it anyway, verse 17. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. Well, let's do not partake, let's don't drink the cup of the devil. The devil's cup is such things as cruelty, just being cruel. Sinfulness, selfishness, ungodliness. I'm just saying this week as we go out and the world is trying to get us to partake in its manners, let's make sure we choose the right table, the Lord's table. Let's make sure we do not choose the cup of the devil. But let's do choose the cup of blessings. Choose the cup of blessings. Look at verse 16. The cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Let's choose the cup of blessings and not the cup of the devil. Amen? Let's choose the blessings of God. Let's choose to partake in that. You say, what does that mean? That means I choose the cup of salvation. I choose the cup of salvation. Again, verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Wow. Let's choose the cup of salvation. Psalm 116, verse number 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? He said, this is what I'll do. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Taking the cup of salvation. By the way, that's when we're talking about getting saved, but there's more than that, just getting saved, partaking of the cup of salvation. Aren't you glad salvation isn't just a one-time drink and you're done with it and go on about your business? No, that's why the Bible says in Hebrews 6:9, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and the things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. There's things that accompany salvation. I'm glad we can partake of the cup of salvation day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute. I hope this afternoon that you partook of the cup of salvation. You took a big dredge of it and found the joy of the Lord, found the peace of God, found the faith in God, found courage to serve God. Just partaking and drinking. Don't drink of the cup of the devil, of bitterness and anger and resentment and sinfulness and filth, but drink the cup of salvation, drink the cup of the Lord, that we find that joy, that we find that peace. Talking with somebody today and just struggles that they have finding the peace of God. Listen, take of the cup of salvation and find that peace and find that joy and find that courage. So let's take the cups of blessing, not the cups of the devil, the cups of blessing. That's the cup of salvation. That means we refuse, or should not refuse. Listen carefully. We say, well, sounds good, preacher, to take the cup of salvation. We need to be careful not to refuse the cups of suffering and sacrifice. Be careful not to refuse automatically the cups of suffering and sacrifice. Again, Jesus being our example in Matthew 26, verse 38. Then saith he unto them, Jesus there, just before the cross, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. He says, He said, I got so much sorrow, I'm about to die. He said, this is killing me. I believe it was physically killing him as he was thinking about the cross, thinking about being separated from God, thinking about becoming sin for us. Can you imagine that? The one who knew no sin, the most pure one, was going to become sin for us. And he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He said, here's a cup of suffering, a cup of sacrifice. And he says, Jesus was saying, my flesh does not want to partake in that. He says, but if that's the cup you have for me, that's the cup I want to take. Let's not automatically refuse the cup of suffering and of sacrifice. You know, the old nature will say, no, I don't want that. But there's times in our life we must suffer for the cause of Christ. There are times in our life we must sacrifice for the needs of others. That's why in 1 Peter 1, verse number 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, I'm glad it's just for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though be tried with fire, be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We may have some great temptations, some great trials, but we can rejoice in that. Let's do not. That rejoicing, he says, rejoice in that. Sometimes if we're going to have that joy, if we're going to have that faith, that's tried with fire, found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, we're going to have to drink that cup sometimes of suffering. Drink that cup of sacrifice. But very quickly, always choose the cup of sovereignty. Always choose the cups of sovereignty. When God gives you a cup, let's drink it. When God says, this is the cup I have for you. This is the cup I have. It may be of suffering. It may be of sacrifice. But it's always best for us. If we're going to build, it's always best for us if we're going to find the advantage. In John 18:10, they're coming right out of the Garden of Gethsemane. And Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. I always have to remind myself he was not aiming at his ear. That was just a bad aim. And cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Micaiah. And Jesus said, then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? He said, this is the cup God has given to me. So I got to drink it. I got to go ahead and take it in. I got to go ahead and accept it. See, when God gives us a cup, don't fight it. When God gives us a cup, don't flee from it. Don't forsake it. Again, Matthew 26:42, Jesus, and when he went away the second time praying, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. The old flesh doesn't like the choice sometimes of the cup of suffering or the cup of the devil. By the way, there's suffering from the cup of the devil. It's completely different, but there is suffering with that. Let's choose. If we're going to build something spiritual, if we're going to edify, let's choose the right table. I'm talking about choosing the things of God, choosing the sweet spirit, choosing God's people, choosing God's house, choosing the right things to partake in, choosing the right cup, even if it is sometimes suffering, even if it is sacrifice, but always if it's from God, let's accept it. Choose the right table. Choose the right cup. And thirdly, choose the right motives. Choose the right motives. Because, see, the right motive is key to all the other choices. When we have the right motive, we'll make the right choice. When we have the right motive, making the right choice will be so much easier. The motives on why we choose. I've said it before, and it's not original with me. It's easy to say no if there's a greater yes. It's easy to say no to this if there's something more powerful I desire over here. It's easier to say no to something that may be something I desire, something I want, if there's something greater I desire over here and something greater I want over here. And so when my motive is to please God, that and that becomes my overall empowering motive of my life, then it's going to be easier to say no to the flesh and no to the devil and no to the world if my motive is to serve God. So let's look very quickly. He gives us the right motives we must choose. Number one, let's choose the motive of the conscience of others. Stay with me tonight. I know it's a little bit deep in some areas as we try to keep this focused, but choose the motive of the conscience of others. Look at verse 24. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Again, the word wealth there is in italics, which means it was not there in the Greek. It was there for explanation. But it says, don't seek your own, but every man another's. You know, we are all about seeking our own. That's the motive for most people. That's the motive for the world. That's the motive for the lost. Seeking their own. What's good for me? What's profitable for me? What's best for me? What does I want? God says, no, don't do that. If we're going to build something spiritual in this carnal world, if we're going to edify, if we're going to have something advantageous, we got to choose the right motive, and we've got to choose the conscience, if you will, of others. Verse 25, whatsoever is sold in the shambles, and that's talking about the places where they sell the sacrifice, the food that was sacrificed to idols, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Because he says the idols are nothing. He says, don't get bent out of shape about that. He says, as long as you don't see it as worship to idols, he says, that's all right. For the earth is the Lord's. Verse 27, if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go. In other words, you say, God would have me go here. I've been invited to this person's house. They may not be saved, but I have a chance to witness to them. I think I'll go ahead and go. All right? Now, you wouldn't go if they're going to expect you to drink. You wouldn't go if there's going to be immorality there. Hello? But you say, I'm disposed to go. I will go there. Whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. Don't say, was this meat offered to idols? I said, no, just go. Just go and just eat. Don't ask questions for conscience sake. But, verse 28, if a man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols. Anybody in your workplace ever try to trip you up? Asking you trick questions? Trying to get you involved in things that you should not and say, don't you know? That's what he's saying. So now they say, well, this was offered to idols. What are you going to do about that? Verse 28, but if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all the fullness thereof. Verse 29, listen, conscience. In other words, what I'm choosing I will and will not do, what I choose I find it acceptable or not acceptable in my life, conscience I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another? So I need, my motive needs to be the conscience of others. In other words, I will not be, I need to make my choices. I'm going to choose the right motive. My motive is the conscience of others. In other words, my motive is I do not want to be a stumbling block to somebody else. My motive isn't but what makes me right, what makes me happy, what makes me, well, I don't have a problem with that, or I think that's okay. That's not the motive. The motive is of what's going to offend somebody else. I cannot be and should not be a stumbling block to somebody else. Romans 14, 12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now, we often say, well, see, I've given an account to myself. Yes. Let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So I make a choice. My motive is for the conscience of others. My motive is not to be a stumbling block to cause somebody else to fall in their life. I do not want to be a source of temptation for somebody else. Are you listening to me? That's what he says. Or an occasion to fall in my brother's way. Romans 14, 21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. 1 Corinthians 8, 13. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. So, as I'm making decisions in my life on what I'm going to build, what's advantageous, I don't do it what's on my conscience, I do it worry about offending somebody else's conscience so that they themselves will not stumble, so they themselves will not fall into sin, so that will not be a source of temptation. So there's some things in your life you might be able to do, but you say, you know, if somebody followed me who was open to that, it might get them into sin. It might get them into temptation. It might get them in the wrong place. They may not understand. And so the choices I make isn't for me, but for them. The right motive so that God would receive the glory. And so we choose the motive of conscience of others. Secondly, we choose the motive of the profit of others. The profit of others. Verse 32. Giving none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things. Again, he's striving not to be offensive. Doesn't mean he's going to sin. Doesn't mean he's going to compromise. But he says, I do not want to offend people. He said, even as I preach the gospel, if they're offended by the gospel or offended by the truth, that's one thing, but I do not want to be offensive to them. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Wow. Does it profit them? So as I make choices, moms and dads, as we make choices about our family, is it profiting our kids? As I make choices in the workplace, is it profiting them? Again, we're always judging, does it profit me? God says, no. Does it profit them? Is it get to a place where it builds them, where it edifies them, where it's an advantage to them, to where they might be saved? Is this an advantage to somebody getting saved? Or will this keep somebody from being saved? Does this point somebody to Jesus Christ? Or does it say, well, there's a Christian, but they do the same thing I do. I guess there's really no difference. See, that's our motive. He says, if we're going to edify, he said, all things are lawful, but not all things edify. Not everything builds. All things are lawful, but not everything's an advantage. Let's make the right choices, the right motives. Let's choose as a motive the conscience of others. There are some things that I might say, you know, I think I could do this. It's not a temptation to me, and it won't be a problem to me. But as pastor, no way. Because of the conscience of others. Well, see, that's right, because you're the pastor. Same goes for all Christians. As people look at me, the conscience of others, I don't want to be a stumbling block. I don't want to be a stumbling block. He said, that's why I said, if meat offends my brother, he said, I won't eat it as long as the world stands. Paul, don't you like it? He said, it doesn't make any difference whether I like it or where I want it. If it hurts him, I don't want to do it. But I've got rights. Wrong motive. Not if we're going to build. Not if we're going to edify. Not if we're going to find the advantage. Again, it's all about our rights. Here we're learning that, no, it's giving up our rights. We make them have the right motives for the right table, for the right cup, but the right motives for the conscience of others, for the profit of others. Does it profit them? And thirdly, the one we usually hear, we choose the motive for the glory of God. For the glory of God. Verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, what table you're at, what cup you're choosing, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. If we can keep those motives, it'll make us choosing the Lord's table over the devil's table much easier. It'll make us choosing the Lord's cup over the devil's cup. Even the cup of sacrifice, even the cup of service, that cup from God that He gives us, be much easier if we got the right motives of others, their conscience, their profit, and for the glory of God. Three choices. Are we building spiritually? What table are we eating at this week? No. What cups are we drinking from? And what motivates our life? Wow. Let's bow our heads, please.
Thanks again for listening to Lighthouse Baptist Church Podcast. Find out more about us at our website, lbceastbay.com. I hope you can visit again real soon.